Welcome, welcome, welcome to the next episode of Do It Yourself. I myself am Vega Bomber, and here with my great sidekick,
Juice.
Absolutely, and man, we didn't know exactly what we wanted to talk about next, but a lot of people said, well, if you're going to do Superman, then you definitely got to talk about The Dark Knight Rises, the one right before that Warner Brothers put out. And so we had to dust off that DVD player, didn't we?
Yeah.
Or the Blu-ray?
The Blu-ray.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with the show, here's what we do. This is the whole idea of the do-it-yourself. It's like you get pumped up about a movie. There's a lot of hype, a lot of commercials, a lot of trailers, and you're just really excited to go see this movie, probably like Star Wars Episode 7 right now. And then you finally go see the movie, and then you realize, oh, man, I thought for sure it would have went somewhere else, even though I had no reason to believe that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now you end up getting in the car, talking with your friends afterwards, saying, you know what? They should have done this. They should have done that. And Batman should have lost an eye or something.
Bane should have lost some tooth, right?
Yeah, something. You know, just something, because it's like you just didn't think that the movie was going to be what you thought it was going to be. And then that even kind of takes it down when the marketing perhaps of the video didn't work for you either in terms of the trailer.
Right.
You know, so here's what we are. We're going to talk about The Dark Knight Rises.
There's going to be spoilers.
Yes. Spoilers. For sure.
A couple years.
That's right. Now, this movie, if you may remember, it came out in July of 2012, so we're definitely going back into the crates, if you will, to pull this bad boy off and talk about it. So, of course, everyone knows Christopher Nolan film, and it's kind of interesting because it has a parallel to Star Wars, believe it or not, you know, in terms of the trilogy, right?
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, it's like everybody loves the second installment of Star Wars, which was Empire Strikes Back. And in this case, everybody loves The Dark Knight,
yes,
the second one. And everybody loves the first one, or at least respects the first one.
Right.
You know, Star Wars A New Hope, and this one, Batman Begins. And then people were kind of divided on the last one, Return of the Jedi with the Ewoks. Well, same thing here. Now we've got Bane, Catwoman, and Talia Ghul, and
like
three
villains.
Three villains, as if Spider-Man 2 hadn't taught us anything, or Spider-Man 3 hadn't taught us anything, and then the Amazing Spider-Man 2 hasn't taught us anything. We should know something by now.
Right.
But at any rate, this movie, Dark Knight Rises, first of all, the budget.
Right.
It was $250 million they spent on the budget.
I know. I did not know that the budget was so high. You know? I thought it was like $200 million maybe, or less than that. But that's a lot of money out there.
Yes, and this was going to be Christopher Nolan's last one because he was done with this by this time. And so we all had some big expectations. Now, domestically, the movie did about $448 million. But then internationally, it did $636 million. So it actually went over the $1 billion mark.
Right.
You know? So it was one of the few Batman films that went over the $1 billion mark before Iron Man 3 did it.
Right.
So that was something for the DC fans out there. They can say
right, the fanboys, they can say, you see, we got the movies that are making a lot of money too.
Absolutely, because Marvel, right before you say, hey, they've got supremacy because Avengers went over $1 billion and Iron Man 3 went over $1 billion. Well, here's Dark Knight Rises, the worst of the installment according to some people.
Right.
And it went over $1 billion.
$1 billion.
So let's talk about it. Our format's usually like this. We'll pick out the things that were wrong with the film or we thought were some inherent plot holes. And then from there, we put on our writer's hats for a moment and reimagine how this movie could have went. And then you can let us know, write in, whatever you have to do, send smoke signals of what you thought. If we're off base, tell us. If not, great. But we want to get you thinking because this movie could have been better, huh, Juice?
Yes, it could be way better, yeah.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about some of the cons, some of the eye rolls, if you will, about this film. For me, I really didn't like the length of this film when they showed us what we were going to have to necessarily be watching.
Right. They could have cut some, they could have gotten a good editor and cut a scene or two here and there and do it under, you know, 2 hours and 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah. I mean, 165 minutes.
Right.
That's a long time to sit in there, even if it is Batman.
Right.
But it's kind of like, okay, you know, this is a microwave society, which this should put the onus in on the writers to come up with things, scenes that kind of transition a little easier without having to have extra dialogue to tell us something that really you should just show us.
Like a tighter script. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Much tighter script. And so I don't know about you, but Talia Ghul, were you pleased with her inclusion in this?
Not so much. You kind of, you know, the way they try to build it up, do a love interest, I guess they wanted to have two love interests, you know, with Catwoman, Selina Kyle, and her. And I just didn't like the way it was set up. You know, it was too quick, the way she just shows up and I guess, you know, they fall in love real quick. I guess, on movies, right? And mm-hmm. I guess they fall in love in like in a meeting or two, and that's it. They're you know, already, you know, planning to marry, I guess.
I don't even understand why we even need Talia al Ghul. I mean, to me, the main villain here is Bane.
Yes.
And you focus on Bane. That's what was in the posters, everything you saw. And I know that was in there for a nice little twist, but in this case, the twist was okay, but it shouldn't define the movie. The twist shouldn't define the movie.
Especially in the beginning, they make him seem like that Bane is a master strategist,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like they make it seem that he wasn't, that she was, that she was pulling the strings. Mm-hmm. All along, and she was the one that came up with the plan, and it made him look like more of a thug.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like one of her henchmen.
Like a henchman, yeah.
You know, which to me, it's kind of like in Thor 2, you know, Malekith and Curse. And Curse should have been the main villain, because Malekith nobody cared about.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like Bane shouldn't be relegated to like the second
in command, or maybe second third in command, or what have you.
Yeah.
Because they made it, especially in the build up, the commercials and mm-hmm. the teasers. It made Bane seem that, you know, he had brains and brawn.
Yes.
And then by the end of this movie, it you know, totally, that aspect of the storyline totally crashed on itself.
Yeah.
Like that he wasn't real. I mean, he was just muscle for the most part.
You know, yeah.
Maybe he was smart.
Yeah.
But not the way he was built up, you know, prior to the actual movie, you know, coming out.
Absolutely. When you see that first sequence in the airplane.
Yes.
And how diabolical that was, and how he got on that plane, and how he just... His not even caring
right.
for losses of life of the guys on
not
the plane.
Not even sweating or anything.
No, nothing at all. And he was okay with that daring, you know, plane hijacking, and just to go, they were going to go through that trouble to get this guy,
right.
you know, because of what information he held and everything like that. So, yeah, you build him up so great at the beginning.
Right.
Then you introduce Talia al Ghul.
Right.
And then she's supposed to be some rich lady at the party who wants to somehow.
Yeah, she had a different name, right?
Yeah.
I forget what it was, but she had a, you know, you know, it wasn't until the end that you find out that she was, you know, pulling the strings, mm-hmm. like I said, and then it was the daughter of Ra's al Ghul,
mm-hmm.
and all that. You know, I think that felt like it was tacked on, in my opinion. You know, like
Agreed.
They need another Agreed. Love interest, you know, to kind of. And speaking of that, once they, you know, get together, she had probably many opportunities to actually take him out.
Yeah,
I don't know why she didn't take him out early when they were at his mansion. That was a perfect opportunity to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can think of, which in this film they didn't connect the dots, that mm-hmm. maybe her plan wasn't ready yet, and she needed mm-hmm. X amount of time to actually have everything you know lined up for her big plan. But mm-hmm. that's the only thing I can think of. But mm-hmm. in the film they didn't say that. You know,
no, they really didn't, and it seemed like they were so committed to giving you Bane's backstory a little bit. Remember? And
right.
it showed that. And then, of course, the little kid that was trying to get out, it ends up being.
And
so they go through all of that to give you all of that.
Right.
And then they then turn around and say, okay, but really what they're after is this reactor type thing that's underneath.
Right.
And they want to get control of that. And if they can get control of that and buy out Bruce Wayne and his interest out of the whole thing and all this other stuff and bankrupt him.
Right.
How would they not know that Bruce Wayne is Batman when in the first Batman Begin, Ra's al Ghul went and attacked Batman
right.
at the mansion?
Yeah,
so
you would think so.
You would think that knowledge would have been passed on to his daughter.
His daughter.
That, you know, so it's really kind of weird.
It was too convoluted, her plan. You know, just like the Iron Man 3 with the plan with, with the virus and mm-hmm. then all that stuff, you know, they try to, you know, outsmart. I guess they're trying to outsmart the audience and trying to, mm-hmm. You know, have a multi-layered
mm-hmm.
Or a facade of a multi-layered storyline, which is not really, doesn't, you know, there's plot holes all through
mm-hmm.
the villain's plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make sense. So.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they mentioned this before, but I didn't understand if there had been 7 or 8 years of peace.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with Batman's leg? What's wrong with, I mean, if he hadn't been fighting, I'm assuming that if all the criminals are in jail, and they were,
right.
Cause they were talking about how we've had peace for 8 years. The captain and the sergeant were arguing about it and all this stuff at the party where Gordon was speaking.
Right.
Right. So how does he break his leg and then he needs, I mean, it's like, to me, and I know we talked about this earlier, if Bane's going to come on the scene and fight him, and I'm not going off the comic books, I'm just thinking what would be more compelling
in the movie,
in the movie
right.
is if Bane is built up to be such a badass, You want to see him fighting Batman at full strength and not a Batman that's kind of somewhat half strength.
Right.
Because then that would emphasize how much of, how badass he really is.
Right.
You would think that somebody like the Joker, the Penguin, someone who can't match Batman, would try to weaken him first and then fight with him because they can't hang with him.
Right.
But Bane, for all we understand, can hang with Batman. So
right.
he doesn't need that extra little deal. Plus he's got the element of surprise.
Right.
And he's working in the script with Talia al Ghul on this whole thing.
Right.
So
that doesn't make sense. And also the timeline, that why wait for 7-8 years mm-hmm. to actually attack?
Mm-hmm.
Other than, I don't think it would, a plan, maybe a plan this intricate in her mind mm-hmm. would take 7-8 years maybe, mm-hmm. but I would just think it would take like, 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, a presidency, you can run a country for 4 years.
Yeah.
You can do a plan like this in 4 years, I would think.
Yeah.
Or 3 years,
Right.
Instead of 7 or 8 years, of peace, quote unquote.
Yes. Yes. No, I think you're right. And I would think that another thing mm-hmm. that's probably a certain eye roll here is no inclusion of the Joker or mention or anything like that at all when all the, inmates are being freed out of the asylum.
Right. At least like, a picture of a cell, or something like, or cackling mm-hmm. after,
mm-hmm.
maybe not just, rehire an actor or hire an actor to take, Heath Ledger's place. Just get an inkling of that he's escaped or something,
Yeah. I mean, in this case, Scarecrow has been in all three movies.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about
that. Batman Begins.
He
was in the beginning of Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
And then he's in this one holding court. And I'm like, wait a minute, Scarecrow? He gets bigger top billing than Joker?
Joker.
So it just seemed like to me, and I understand what they were trying to do, Heath Ledger's death, and of course, that's one thing, but if we asked him, if he was alive, would you want us to continue this legacy or would you want us to just stop just because of your death? And I don't think he'd want that to stop.
He's an actor. Right.
And he'd be like, so to me, you don't have to recast or get someone else, but at least have something
right.
that pitches to the idea that
he's
got
still
out or he's around mm-hmm. or he has something to do with this.
Right.
And that would be kind of like a great nod. And people would be like, that's right. Maybe they'd forgive some of the other plot holes.
Maybe.
If there was some kind of reference to Joker in this thing. And we could talk about later on when we do our fixes how we would do that.
Right.
What about Bane's death? How did you think that was a good death?
Yeah, again, it was like a letdown. when she shows up, the Catwoman shows up with the bat pod and, shoots him and then he's dead. He's gone. Was it stage left?
Yeah.
They didn't even show a body or anything. It was dead.
He's just dead.
Right.
And it was almost like, and that's so trivial because here's Batman. This is his last movie you're doing for Batman for Nolan. And you want the superhero to be super.
Right.
And there's nothing super about having someone come in using guns to kill the guy that you're right. totally against.
Right.
And then you try to handle it with just a joke.
Right.
I don't have the same hang up about guns that you do.
Right.
And then everybody kind of chuckles, but it's like, well, shoot, why don't you just have Catwoman jump in anytime
right.
and let her shoot people for you?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm. So I was just kind of like, no, this would have been
better.
Yeah,
the build up was set that they were going to, for a second time and Batman was actually going to, take him on and, to like you said, like have somebody just out of nowhere just show up and just you didn't even hear the bike. I think she's just there
and on cue,
somehow
fire the gun. And we all knew that when he gave her the the bat pod, she wasn't gonna leave.
Right.
We knew she was gonna come back. Somehow and all that stuff and
right.
it wasn't over. So then there's the portrayal of Catwoman in this as well.
Right.
Which I think Anne Hathaway did pretty good with what she had.
Right.
But did it seem kind of inconsistent to you a bit?
Where she portrayed Batman Bruce Wayne? You mean like
just kind of like, for example,
sets up a trap.
Yeah, it's like, so we first see her, what's she doing? She's trying to rob pearls from Bruce Wayne.
Right.
So she has no idea who he is and all this stuff.
Right.
Then he tracks her down, meets her at this party.
Right.
Then she gets away again, and he learns that she's pretty crappy that way.
Right.
And then he loses all of his money, and all this stuff happens, and he goes and visits her one more time, and they have this little witty banter in her
right.
little small apartment or whatever. And you're trying to build this relationship up between these two.
Right.
But then you start building up a relationship between,
the
other lady and him and Batman. And I'm just kind of like, no, why don't you take one of the best Catwoman stories Right. And weave that in here while you take one of the best Bane stories and put that all into the same movie, and you don't even need Talia Ghul.
Yeah, just take her out of the movie, yeah.
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 I mean, because think about how hard it is to get Catwoman. I mean, because she's not really, it's not that he can't take her down.
Right.
It's just that he wants to believe
that she's a good person, and maybe he sees that in her, that she is a good person, and circumstances have put her in this situation where she has to steal, you know, diamonds and fencing items, you know, art and stuff like that. Maybe he sees her in, a good person in there somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and I think that they play that up instead. You don't need, because I mean, I think sleeping, like, so him sleeping with Talia Ghul that we know now,
right.
What did that really accomplish? So you lose all your money.
Right.
The lady that just bought your company brings you to your house. You can barely get into your own house. The lights are out because you can't pay the bill.
Right.
So let's have sex. Where did that happen in any of the other Batman movies?
That shoehorned that romance in there.
Yeah, and is that really a romance? Because it's just like, you just met her.
Right.
And all she's doing is giving, you know, helping you get into your house, which you should be asking, why is she even there?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Isn't that kind of weird?
It is weird that she was just there.
Yeah, and then they shoehorn in she happens to pick up the picture of Rachel.
Oh,
and
right.
Then now we have to think about, oh yeah, he lost his true love in Rachel in Dark Knight. And now he's
now found another one.
And now here's another one that's going to all of a sudden save his life, but then...
Like three meetings, right?
Yeah, just two, three quick meetings and then...
Right. He's that easy, I guess.
He's doing that. And in Dark Knight, he didn't sleep with anyone. And then Batman Begins, he didn't sleep with anyone. It was all about...
That we can see, right?
Yeah, it was about Rachel. And so as far as we know, it was always a persona that Bruce Wayne played.
Right. You know, the paper
played
persona.
Up. Because he's really, if I'm right with the comic books, he's obsessed with detective work.
Right.
He didn't even have time to even think about relationships.
That's one aspect that they didn't show too much of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit. Remember he was in the first one where he's doing surveillance?
Yeah.
But that's about it. You don't actually see the detective part of the character. You know, more of the physical. That was a missed opportunity. Another in this overall trilogy of the movie, they show a little bit more of his detective work.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even in Dark Knight, when he went to go get the guy that flew Jurisdiction and he brought him back.
Oh, right.
And all that stuff. I thought that was great.
Right.
You know how they showed that scene? That was showing his detective work, how he was going to do it, and then him breaking the law.
Right.
Have everybody's phone tapped. He was walking around the whole time.
Right.
I mean, that sounds like some detective work.
A little bit.
You know, he was a little nervous.
Right.
He was not worried to break the law.
To break the law.
To do what he felt like needed to be done to protect the citizens of Gotham.
Right.
So he had that there, but then in this one, it's like he's, you know, in
the film. He lost knowledge, I guess, or he lost, just because he's at his weak point, 8 years of not, you know, doing anything, I guess, is not just his muscles, but his brain was atrophied also, right?
You're right. You would think, right? Because you're just like, why did you, you know, so I don't even understand how that even happened. And so then there's this Blake character.
Oh, right.
So what did you think of Blake? I mean, Nightwing. I mean, Blake.
Well, I think, you know, that's one of the aspects of, you know, weaknesses of Nolan's scripts, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to add human elements to it, and they fall flat, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah.
You know, compared to other directors and other, you know, writer-director combos, you know, that's one of his weak points. He tries to add a human element to characters with speeches or with overlong, dialogue. Mm-hmm. That or shoehorned scenes, like two or three scenes, and they're already connected somehow. Too much, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of truth in what you're saying, because, I mean, he gets the idea that he's very multi-layered. So he does create a very cerebral film. When you look at all of his movies, you know, Memento, Prestige, which I haven't seen, but I've seen Inception, and I've seen all the others that he's done. And that's fine. That's good to make it layered, but it's almost like...
mechanical.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, people want to be entertained, and sometimes they don't want to just have to do a lot of extra thinking. I mean, some people love to think anyway, so those people are always going to love the Nolan films for that.
Right.
And I don't mean that everything has to be spoon-fed, but when you're trying to build a character arc, but you're brilliant enough to add in all these other forces, which would sound plausible to some degree, then you're going to lose some of that whole character feeling emotion part that you kind of need.
Right.
And I think that's what you're saying is that, so he loses some of that because he's so multi-layered in what he's doing.
Right.
That you got extra pieces added that may or may not serve the purpose.
Right. And another aspect, speaking of that, like his scripts, like I said, it's very cerebral,
mm-hmm.
but there's no heart.
Mm-hmm.
Over, compared to other works that mm-hmm. that are able to add to, like Spielberg comes to mind. He can add, a great, tech mm-hmm. and put add great characters and character development compared to Nolan's work
mm-hmm.
overall.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And it's interesting. So, like, if you compare it to Lucas, right? Lucas doesn't write the greatest dialogue. Right. However, he still knows how to convey the loneliness of Luke Skywalker sitting on the farm looking up into the sky, and you see the different
He doesn't even dialogue, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't even write good dialogue.
Right.
And Lucas was able to capture the essence of, here's this lonely farm boy that doesn't know his father, needs to get off his farm, tired of aunt and uncle, Owen and Beru and all that, whatever.
Right.
But you got that sense by him backing up and panning, and there's just the music, you use the music to go with it.
Right.
And I think that for Nolan, it's more visual. So mm-hmm. he's going to put some incredible visuals, and he put some great ideas in it.
Right.
But when it comes to really sticking with what you're trying to use as the main heart grab, like the heartstrings, right? Like, I didn't care for the relationship between him and Tiago. I was like,
it didn't work.
And then the relationship between him and Catwoman would have worked. That's why that ending sucked, because
when he is at Paris. Having dinner with Selina Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't really have anything in here to really tell us that they really cared that much about each other.
Right.
That she would even want to be there.
At least in the movie, there wasn't a connection. Like you said, like if you take out one relationship and add more Selina Kyle and had more scenes with her.
Yeah.
And then maybe it would have made sense, psychologically and maybe emotionally with that ending scene with her.
Yes.
He ended up with her.
Yeah, if you're going to show that scene at the end that everything ends up just perfect and he got away before the bomb exploded or whatever, somehow, and he was able to get away fast enough without being blown up, and you're going to give us that fairy tale ending and he's okay but living in Paris, then I would think you'd want to build up that relationship between him and Selina Kyle a little bit more.
Right.
Rather than adding in Talia al Ghul, because you're trying to be smart.
I mean, if you think about it, like, harkens back to the original trilogy with, I should not call it trilogy, with the Tim Burton films. The second film, where Catwoman was kind of flirting and licked them. And so, that's the beginning of, a shallow relationship, maybe. But maybe they should have added some scenes with him, with her trying to kiss him. At first it's just try to get him off balance, but then with Selina Kyle and Catwoman, they added more scenes in a perfect script.
Right.
But they added more scenes, and then that scene would have made sense.
Yeah.
With him actually end up, being with her.
Yeah.
Maybe not married with her, but just at least being with her.
Yeah, because he telegraphed that, you know that. With Nolan, that he's over, sometimes he's really overbearing about telling you certain things over and over again, because he's afraid you're not going to get it.
Right.
And when you get that cerebral, that you're afraid that people aren't going to get it, that should be kind of a clue. Not that you have to change your style completely, but maybe you take in some feedback from some other
feedback.
People.
There you go, like somebody
who
else.
Would say, you know what, I like what you're doing.
But how about this
maybe
scene?
This scene this would
dialogue,
give us that weight.
Right.
That we don't have right here.
Right.
Because the whole idea of all the cops going underground.
Right.
When you've already released all the villains and all the criminals, would it make sense for them really to be underground?
All of them.
All of them. No, there's nobody up there to do this. And here he's going to hijack a football game.
Right.
Something that would be very, very well guarded with police and things like that.
Right.
Because if they've ever gone to a football game, there's police at the Cowboy games and stuff like
that.
So, there's a jail built underneath the Eagles Stadium,
right?
In Philadelphia. So
that doesn't make sense in terms of adding, putting all your resources, manpower in one place.
Yeah.
You would think you would have, maybe 80%, and still have 20%, out on the field or at the precinct house and all that stuff. That just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Bane, who robbed the New York Stock Exchange right before dawn?
Right.
So he's on camera. You got pictures of this guy. You kind of have a sense. And then he's able to show up in front of a bunch of people at a football game and talk. And nobody attempts to even try to come in there and take the mic down.
Right.
All the cops are down. I mean, it's just at some point to push a story that you really want.
What did you think that it would be like, maybe ex-police people that would have, you know, I'm not even saying guys, you know, women too, that maybe had still have guns, right? And mm-hmm. just because, well, off-duty officers mm-hmm. still working and would, you know, at least stop them, you know, mm-hmm. you know, after 9/11, you would think there'd be somebody there just to try to stop them. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a major problem with it. And then you have the problem of the time sequence. All of a sudden being in some other country where we don't know where.
After he's broken,
mm-hmm.
he has no money, right?
Is right.
established,
he's
right? He's broke.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, you know, after whatever, we established 8 months maybe?
Yeah.
7 months? You know, he's healed.
Right.
And they don't show him coming, you know, he's in a country somewhere, mm-hmm. and show him Gotham, like moments later.
Right.
Where, you know, it took time probably, you know,
mm-hmm.
or 5 days, 4 days, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's somehow got in without money, without an ID, mm-hmm. without, you know, the way this movie is structured, it, you know, Nolan wants you to fill in the gaps in your mind that, oh, well, I guess he's proficient in the underworld. He has probably false identities. Mm-hmm. He can, you know, hide places where he can put fake.
He's Batman.
But, yeah, right, he's Batman. Other than just
because Batman.
Because Batman. This year's sort of a scene where maybe, you know, he goes to his underground contacts with, you know, a fake name to get a fake passport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a scene with that would help.
Mm-hmm.
To make the connection that, oh, now he's in Gotham.
Yeah.
You know, after a
yeah.
few days.
I mean, and here's the problem, because it's like, you see what Nolan's trying to do. He's like, I want to make the fanboys happy in the sense that I'm going to have Bane break his back.
Right.
Because he didn't have to do that. But he did that because he knew that, you know, Batman fans are really, you know, they're sticklers.
Right.
You know.
Bane is in the movie, so back broken.
Yeah. So he figures that'd be enough.
Right.
But if you go with that route, then you have to be careful, because if that's the route you're going to go with, then time is going to really be important at that moment, because you're going to need to either go forward two mm-hmm. or 3 years, you know, put that on the screen 3 years later
yeah,
or
right.
something. But he didn't want to do that.
Right.
He just left it like it was. So it almost seemed like the very next day
right.
he got out of the pit. He was back in Gotham.
Right.
And now he's ready to put on the suit again and all this other stuff. And didn't they get rid of all the suits at the end? Didn't him and Alfred?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Didn't they kind of
yeah.
get rid of the suit and it sent it off in that thing?
Then it's just he's Batman and he has
yeah.
a hidden suit, I guess.
He's got more than one suit, dude,
right.
just for this very thing. When all the, for a case, that's what it says. In case all the cops are underground, break glass.
Break glass.
Bat suit. Here
bat
you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's another weak point of the script, where, you know, he wants the audience to, I guess, fill in the blanks where he has hidey holes
mm-hmm.
or headquarters hidden,
mm-hmm.
I guess, in the outskirts of Gotham, in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, you know, again, that's one of the weak points of the script. Maybe he added a scene with him, you know, going to, you know, a certain, you know, safe house where you push a button,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, a code
mm-hmm.
button, and he goes in and there's a hidden, you know, hasn't been there for like months,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then him finally getting the suit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they left a little bit. I mean, that whole thing.
And the whole thing also about the fire with the Batman.
Yes, that's the other thing. So somehow, not only did you figure out where you were.
Right, where you were.
And figure out how to get home with
right.
no money, no nothing else.
Right.
You know, and then you get here, you have enough time to put gasoline across the ice that'll go up this little thing and light up the sky with the Batman emblem.
Which is him, because Alfred is gone.
Yes.
He has no help.
That's right.
And he's able to do that.
That's right. And a bad back. And a bad back on top of that.
Right.
So
well, any broken bone, I've never had a broken bone, but I heard whenever it's cold, it affects your broken bones, right?
Yeah,
it does.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't
yeah.
know if you've had that experience, but I've had family members that say that they mm-hmm. feel, when it's raining sometimes, depending
yeah.
on the person, so.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's just silly. So let's talk about, that's another plot. And so then the ending.
Okay,
because the ending then also seemed to be a little cheesy as well. So
with him flying with the bomb, is that the
yeah?
Bomb?
So he's gonna now. Conveniently, it's a good thing we have the bat, that plane that he can fly in. So he's gonna take this bomb now that's gonna blow up, and he's gonna take it away from the city so that, because again, he cares a lot about Gotham. So he's able to get far enough away. It was almost like in Godzilla. That little bitty boat was supposed to take the, you know, right. the neutral missile so far away to where when it blows up, you'd be okay. Yeah, but the people on the boat are toast because how fast is a tugboat? Anyway.
Right.
So here he is. He's in this plane.
The bat.
And then we see a explosion.
Right.
And then it's a shot back of Blake and the kids all looking at there and they're all wondering, is Batman dead?
Right.
To which that effect is lost because everybody knows he didn't die.
Right.
Right? We know he didn't. So it didn't work. He didn't sell it. And then plus, how does he get out of there?
Right.
In enough time.
Right. Then the show is, I wouldn't think he'd have enough time to do that. You know, it's all movie magic, right?
Yeah. Well, was it something about he fixed the automatic pilot?
Yeah, later on you find out that out, right?
He fixed the automatic pilot. It's almost like, so then if he fixed the automatic pilot, I guess you want us to assume that he jumped out of the plane somewhere over the water. Landed into the water.
Wouldn't people see him?
Going. Yeah, well, something. I don't know. You know, it just seems like, okay, so you fixed the automatic pilot, so they want us to know that this is what happened.
Right.
But at the end of it, then they show you that, you know, he's in Paris with Selina Kyle, just like how they mentioned early on.
Right.
And there's, you know, Alfred. He sees him, they tip glass, and everything's cool.
And with no money.
With no money. He's in Paris, and I thought Alfred was already gone.
Right.
And was there really that big of a relationship sold to us that Selina Kyle even want to go? Why would she want to go? She spent her whole life robbing people.
Right.
She's just going to change overnight because why? Because he's Batman. He's broke Batman. He's broke back and he's broke bank account Batman.
Bank account.
That's
another aspect of the script. I guess he wants the audience to connect the dots where he's, you know, put money offshore because that's what rich people do, right?
Yeah.
I guess to put money here. That's so much money that we can put money off here and $1 billion over here, $1 million over there, $10 million over there. Maybe that's what he wants to convey without even saying it. You know? Which, that's another weak point of a plot hole where, you know, you want the audience to fill in your structure of the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not connect the dots, but at least meet us halfway.
Yeah.
Meet us halfway.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, because the ending, to me, I thought it was too convenient. It was like the ending of Iron Man 3.
Oh, right.
So all of a sudden, he fixes the extremist violence. He all of a sudden doesn't need the arm in his chest anymore. So right, he's going to take care of that big old hole in the middle of his chest now. It's okay now.
Maybe he filled it with something, right?
Yeah, he put a fake apple or something.
Well, I was thinking putty. I was thinking putty, but
he put some putty in there.
Putty in there, there you go. Fake hair.
That hardens. Yeah, so all of a sudden, he's going to fix it. So it's almost like, okay, we need everybody to know that Catwoman's good and Batman and Catwoman get together.
Right.
He goes to France.
He's retired. He hit
Gotham.
Right. He's not Bruce Wayne, I would think, because it's another established name, I'm thinking.
Who knows? I mean, the way it was left, who knows?
Alfred, Kyle. All we know, he just takes Alfred's name.
And then Commissioner Gordon doesn't realize who he is this whole time.
Oh, this whole time.
And
right.
He just tells him at the end, he says something to Commissioner Gordon that Commissioner Gordon remembers saying to a young Batman.
Oh, right.
It's like, if you are going to not die,
right?
Why would you give away your secret identity?
Right,
Commissioner Gordon.
I mean, you would think. Bruce Wayne had this plan in his mind that he's going to publicly die as Batman, and Bruce Wayne, right, too, because I think isn't the cemetery on the close to the mansion?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And does it say Batman or does it say Bruce Wayne?
I'm sure it says Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne. So both of them died in the chaos of Bane, he died also,
Mm-hmm.
So the Bruce Wayne identity is gone. The Batman, at least his version of Batman is gone. So he closed the door, Bruce Wayne, for him coming back in case Gotham needs him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, now Commissioner Gordon knows who you are.
Right.
So.
Right. So he closed doors. That he burned bridges, basically.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want Commissioner Gordon to know, if you've kept your secret from him all this time?
10 years, let's just say.
Yeah, 10 years.
At least.
Then why would you tell him at the end unless you were, in fact, going to die?
Right.
And so, but they know that he you know, that Bruce Wayne died.
Right.
And he knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Right.
So then...
It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, it was they did that. You know why they did it. They did it because they wanted you to believe that Batman died.
Right.
So if that's the case, then you don't need that scene at the end.
Just cut it out. Right.
That it stops there, and now you show Blake finding out the Batcave,
right,
and now you know he's going to be Nightwing. And so, that's the better way to end it.
So you better when they end it where it would be the audience, you know, thinks he's dead,
mm-hmm,
and he is dead, mm-hmm, for all
practical purposes.
Practical purposes. And then that's how, and then Blake is going to take over as Batman.
Yeah.
Or a Batman, or a vigilante, you know, would take a different name.
Yes.
Huh. That probably would have been a better, you know, emotional, uplifting film. Maybe not uplifting, but a better ending.
Yeah, because then it's just kind of like in Captain America, right? We just see Bucky falling off, and everybody assumes that he died, but we don't know that. Same thing with Red Skull. We assume that he's dead because he got sucked in, you know, to Asgard or wherever, different realm. But he didn't die. So you use the same thing here. You don't even need to try to sell it. So he was trying so hard to sell the fact that Batman was going to die in this movie, because if you remember, they showed the mask half broken on some of the posters and stuff.
Right.
He was really trying to sell you the idea that Batman dies. But then it's kind of like, well, if he went too far to do that he couldn't then do what he really needed to do, which was show that Blake, mm-hmm, was going to need to be trained.
Oh,
because
right,
he could never be Batman, because Batman had special training.
And he did it at a semi-young age, like established like late teens, maybe, 19, 20.
Yeah.
When he kind of disappeared for a while and then, you know, had all his skills,
mm-hmm,
built up. Now, as a police officer, I mean, you have some skills, but not Batman skills.
No, yeah, not Batman. If the police have Batman skills, they need Batman. So that's what I'm saying. That's why that was dumb, because it's kind of like, you need to show, I mean, because he was boxed in by saying, well, I want to hold it back. I don't want people to know
that
that's Robin. But anybody watching knew that
you
know, John Blake was going to be Robin or something of that, to that nature. So I was sitting back going, because if you want him to take over as Batman, then he needs to be trained, because Batman was trained.
Right.
If you let him show up now, and he wasn't even much of a detective. Remember in the movie he was trying to teach him how to be a detective? Even Commissioner Gordon and him didn't trust him as a detective.
Right.
So it's kind of like, if he's going to be your next Batman, he's going to be a horrible compared to the real
He's
going to,
like, die the first year.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it would seem like to me it'd be better that if you... It'd been better just to not even have that scene where he's in Paris. Just let everybody believe it.
Okay.
Let everybody fill in for themselves. Did he live or did he die?
Right. Just leave it like open-ended.
Just leave it open-ended.
You feel like maybe it was a suit, some executive, Warner Brothers say, you know, Batman can't die. You know, you have to leave it, you know, leave it that at the end of the film that he actually is alive.
Mm-hmm.
That he actually could have been.
But I know that he wanted to go out of his way to try to
convince.
You think.
Right.
But that tells you too much.
Right.
Because when they're trying that hard, now you know what they're doing.
Right.
So I knew that Blake was going to be Robin, and I knew that Batman wasn't going to die.
Right.
I just knew it. Because when he starts saying, well, remember what you said to a kid one time?
Right.
And as soon as he said, I'm like, he's not going to die. Because that's so telegraphed right there.
Right.
And then they show Commissioner Gordon thinking back.
Right.
And now he just now, another great detective, and Commissioner Gordon, who's smart, been around for a while,
I made the connection finally.
Yeah, why not Bruce Wayne?
Right.
Yeah, okay, well, we know it wasn't Harvey Dent. So, and you know what? Batman happened to be there when Harvey Dent was getting ready to kill my son and daughter at the end of Dark Knight.
Right.
So, why is it that Batman seems to show up a lot and seems to know a lot about me and what's going on?
Right.
You would think at some point, before that. Yeah, he just started figuring out that. I noticed that Bruce Wayne and Batman are never in the same place. I mean, you would just think.
You would think
on some level. But, yeah, so that ending to me, I think, was not satisfying. And I think you add in all these other things, the length and the way Bane died after building him up, and really you didn't do him any justice. So I think those are the problems. Let's go to the fixes.
Yes.
Let's start talking about the fixes. So pretty easy, I guess, with the – let's just say the first part, like with the beginning and the setup. And again, this may be blasphemy to some of you. It's not going to follow the comic books, but definitely from the movie cinematic universe, what we've seen so far in film, I'm wondering, why does Batman need to be gone for 8 years and then somehow have, you know, a knee problem? Why not it be that he's gone for 7 or 8 years because his back was broken by Bane. And what you do is you do a flashback like Batman Begin has.
Yes.
And that's the reason why Batman's gone. Not just because there's no crime anymore, because Joker's put in jail and all this other stuff.
Right. Like a flashback showing like him fighting Bane. And then intercut with, Commissioner Gordon saying that he's been missing for 7, 8 years. And then with more flashbacks with him, with the Bane fights, maybe in the beginning of the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then that would make sense with him why he's been gone for 7, 8 years.
Yes, because he's trying to heal. And so then when we see him, he's not necessarily walking around with a cane, but if he has a cane, it's more because of his back and not because of a knee. Which seems kind of, I don't know, trite.
Right.
And so it's all about how he's driven now to get back because that's the first time he's ever been beaten.
Right.
Nobody's ever beaten him that bad.
Right.
So he's now got this idea that, hey, how can I ever take care of Gotham if somebody can beat me?
Right.
And then how does he get away? Because you might say, well, how does he get away then if you have that happen early on and it's shown by a flashback? It's more of that Batman, again, he should have all these gadgets.
Right.
So why wouldn't he have some sort of drone or something else that could fly in as his diversionary tactic? I mean, using flash pots and throwing down that stuff, that's old magician stuff.
Right.
I mean, that wouldn't work in a digital age.
Like it didn't work when he was, when Bane was fighting him, he was throwing stuff at him. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Bane like that. So it wouldn't work also because he'd been trained by the League of Assassins also.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you wouldn't even want to do that. So it seems like to me, you just have that flashback and they show the fight scene kind of going on.
Right.
And then you see that his back gets broken. But then what happens is one of his bat planes, drones come in and they start firing and shooting stuff and it throws him off and he doesn't know because he wasn't expecting it.
Right.
And that's the whole idea of the trickery is to have something that he doesn't expect.
Right.
And he would activate that if he ever got in trouble.
Right.
Just like in Dark Knight, he had those blades on his arm gauntlets.
Right.
So that if he got in the position where he needed to hit the button, he could shoot those things off like shooting stars. So it's kind of like this is what he would need to have coming in to distract Bane. Bane gets away. And Batman's able to limp away. He's sending for the Batmobile to come get him. This is, like I said, this is kind of like when Scarecrow gassed him for the first time.
The first movie.
Right? Yeah. And so now it's a situation where the Batmobile's got him and it's taking him to where he can get some help.
Right.
And then so what you have is two guys who wanted to finish a fight that they couldn't.
Right.
Bane wants to finish this fight because he's never lost and he's never let someone get away.
Right.
Batman wants to finish this fight because if he doesn't take him out, who will take him out?
Right.
And save Gotham.
Right.
So that 8 years really should be this incubation time of showing him rehabilitating and getting stronger.
And then maybe that's like you said, like he has a technology guy, with the drone, and being ready, maybe he needs that extra technology and now there's a new,
back replacement. Yeah.
And it took 7, 6 years for that to be figured out that now he can use that. And only rich people can use that, of course.
Right, because they can afford the technology. Yeah. I mean, and all that stuff would be plausible amongst a Batman movie.
In cinematic world, yeah.
Yeah, and I think what you do is, to your point earlier, it was great, is that so you show that this has really been going on while he's fighting, when Batman was fighting Joker.
Yes.
He's already down underground trying
with
to get his cell set up.
Right.
And so that's why you can show that it looked like Batman was just leaving and fleeing so that the people could blame him instead of Harvey Dent for what had happened.
Right.
But really what was going on is Bane was already working on his plan.
Right.
And see here, you don't even need Talia Ghul because she's part of the League of the Shadows. Well, so is Bane.
Right. Yes.
And you're not going to get me to believe that Talia Ghul can kick Bane's ass.
Right.
Because if you do, then what really is Bane?
Bane for,
right. He's a patsy now.
Right.
He's a stooge. He's nothing.
He's nothing.
So I don't think you even need Talia Ghul. And now with her out of the way, then that's the other fix. Right. Now you can work on the plot point between Batman and how he won't turn in Selina Kyle because he has a soft spot for her. And that's what starts to win her over. And you build that piece.
Relationship.
While you show at the same time, meanwhile,
underground,
Bane has already figured out where tactical parts of the city is so that he can then create, some sort of sinkholes or something and then come up and rob and do all the things that he needed to do.
Right.
And he's already amassed a league of thugs to help him do this.
Just like Joker did.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So to me, I think you would do that. And then so to fix Bane's death, it shouldn't be that he dies because someone uses machine guns on him from a bat pod. I mean, Batman doesn't kill. I know they tried to use that line, but then does that make Selena Kyle a sympathetic character at all?
Right.
That she's willing to just walk up and just shoot people away. That would be against what Batman would want.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense in that that aspect of the original story.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're talking about the, you know, rebuilding the story to make, a better sense and, I think a better story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would make a better story because now what happens is you're going to get flashbacks of a fight where Batman loses, but then you're going to, by the time they get to the real fight, and maybe even Selina Kyle, you know, Catwoman's kind of in the way of it.
Right.
She's kind of distracting him.
Right.
From something he needs to go do because she doesn't see things the way he sees things.
Right.
And you can stick with the whole idea that, no, you don't want to mess with this guy because, you know.
He beat you once.
You know, he beat you once. And that shows that she cares.
Right.
And that starts to build that little kind of weird back and forth relationship. And then you have this really king, badass fight now where it's just mano a mano, they're duking it out.
Right.
And Bane is making sure that he takes no shorts this time.
Right.
And that Batman will not escape.
Right.
So I don't mind.
Right.
But then have Batman ready too this
right.
whole time. He's got a much better back now.
Right.
The surgery and everything else has worked. And so now you're going, all right, let's see this what happened this time and let it not be a flashback this time.
Right.
Let us see what really happens. And now you get this really BA fight scene.
At the end.
And he doesn't need Catwoman to come in and save him.
Right.
With artillery.
Right.
she doesn't.
Right. Right.
You know.
Actually take on a big epic fight, you know, that lasts like 10 minutes, you know, at the end of the film.
Absolutely. And in fact, you could have, instead of Talia Ghul, you just have maybe Bane's number one flunky is a female. That way you could have this awesome cat fight.
Oh, yeah, and
so
right.
Maybe it's a League of Shadow,
League of Shadow. Female
assassin who's badass, who in this movie you get to see her, but Bane sends her out to do some of this stuff. That's the dirty.
I mean, there are, in the pantheon of comic books, there are characters, female characters that are, you know, martial artists, that are, you know, deadliest women in the world. One of them is called Lady Shiva, as most Batman fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a good character to bring into that aspect of it. And she's part of the League of Shadows in the comic books too.
I would have rather had that.
Right.
And so then what happens is you got Catwoman fighting her, and the thing is that she's under overmatched.
Because right.
Catwoman is not a trained fighter. She's
right.
Basically a gymnast and
right.
a jewel thief, from what I understand.
Right.
So
she would rather run than fight.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And so now she's in a situation where she has to fight now.
Right.
And she knows she has to cause some kind of distraction because, you know, if you want to have the whole Han Solo shooting from out in space with the Millennium Falcon to help Luke get away from Darth Vader and so you need so she can come in, and that's what you'd want to see, or at least if you're gonna do Talia al Ghul, maybe that's what she does.
Right.
She fights Catwoman.
And not actually be the leader of assassins, you know, be a little bit, you know, Bane will be the leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just keep it that way.
Right.
And then I think the ending, so how you fix that ending, and that'll take some of that extra length out of the movie where you're wondering how does Batman get over here, because I don't think you even need the linking to the Lazarus Pit. I understand why they tried to use it, but really you don't really quite need all of that exposition to get there. If you just take care of the fact that Batman's back's already been broken, and you're flashing back to show how it happened. Because, Commissioner Gordon thinks that everything's been fine, you know, but that's because he doesn't know that Batman's already figured out that there's another criminal not named Joker.
Right.
So, Joker's in jail.
Right.
But Batman realizes, whoa, we got people underground. You know, because he's got people underground.
And that'd be add a little bit of detective work right there.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit more.
Add some detective work, that'd be that. And so I think then the next piece would probably be the ending, how I would write it. So I'm thinking, if this is your last one and you're going out, you know, let the people guess as to what happened.
But actually, at least for the audience, actually kill Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended like that, where it's guessing where he's died, maybe he's not. You don't actually see a dead body, but that's how it ends.
Yeah, well, no, you don't kill him. You don't,
right. You
don't know whether he's dead or not.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
right. Yeah, so what you do is, I'm thinking is that what you'll want to do is you'll want to let the audience fill it in. So if there is this big fight scene, whether it has to be him taking the plane and flying it over and whatever and whatnot, was he in it or not? Mm-hmm. If you do go with that, over the edge, boom, bomb blows up. Don't show another scene where all of a sudden he's in Paris and all that stuff.
Right.
You just don't need that scene altogether.
Right.
Just let it end there, show the scene of them having the funeral for Bruce Wayne,
right,
and let it be implied, let people think, oh, he must have died,
right,
and then show, you know, Blake,
right,
be finding the Batcave because it was set up by plan,
right,
and then the movie ends there.
All right.
No scene of Paris and
all that stuff.
Because right, you don't, because it doesn't fit with the way it ended, because why would Selina Kyle go with them?
Right. Right. Because I mean, again, they only met like 3-4 times in the original script, so original story.
Yeah.
And this one would add more, more scenes with her making a connection and, you know, and leave the audience thinking that maybe they went out because Selina Kyle's not there either.
Yeah.
Maybe they went out. I don't know. We don't know anything, right?
So yeah. So just
create some mystery.
Yeah. Create some mystery. Don't try to fill it in. So maybe there's this big brawl that's going on. And yeah, I guess you gotta have your ticking time bomb thing.
Just add that bomb still.
You leave the bomb in there. And then in this case, what's happened is that, you know, all the drones, you think all the drones have been destroyed. And they show you that there's 5 drones that Batman has.
Right.
And you think that they've all been destroyed. Right. But you see one bay that's open where you can tell the drone's not there.
Not there.
You know, and that might be something that you could kind of use to say, well, maybe he's alive, but maybe he's dead. You know,
right,
you leave it that way, but you don't show that scene.
Right.
You know, as I was saying, in Paris, because then that pretty much tells you he's alive. And so therefore all that subterfuge you put up to try to hide people, it now loses.
It just doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
In an original script.
Yeah. And I think that you can't. And then the other part of it I'd fix too is, why not let Blake be trained? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Show scenes with him actually being trained, with Bruce Wayne, you know, actually being, you could do with the flashbacks too, a little bit here, a little bit there. Maybe just get an inkling in that he's being trained. And not just, you know, not just verbally, you know, talk to him about his secret identity or imply that he's actually Bruce Wayne. And then, you know, that would have worked better. You know, like in this one, the way they were set up, they just find the Batcave. He's going to be the next vigilante, maybe not Batman, but he's not really trained.
Right.
Right.
Right. And then you're right. And that's the problem, because if he's supposed to fill in the shoes for Batman,
right,
we know Batman is, you know, for one, he's loaded with a lot of money.
Right.
But two, not only that, he's been trained all over the world into how to even think like criminals. And what we get here is an officer who's a former orphan who remembers Batman. So they kind of give you this Robin kind of background in terms of being an orphan to some degree.
And then there's a scene where actually, I forget what character, says something like, oh, he can fight or something. But in the original script, they want you to kind of connect the dots where just because he can fight, it doesn't mean he can be Batman.
Exactly.
Oh, he can fight. You throw a punch.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
I have everything set up because you can fight. And I have the money and resources, so you're the vigilante now, you know, Nightwing or whatever they're going to call him, you know.
Yeah, see, the piece that he should have hung his hat on was that he was trying to say that the reason why this kid knows that he's Batman is because they're both orphans. They know what it's like to lose their parents.
Right.
So if that's the case, then that's why you would want to show this unique relationship established between him and Batman.
And Batman.
And Batman's thinking, you know what? I'm already believing that it can't be me forever.
Right.
And the Batman's just a symbol anyways.
Right.
And he knows that since he's already had his back broken once before, that, hey, I'm going to need to train somebody, especially somebody younger than me, but somebody who also cares as much as I do about this. And right. Robin would, because, you know, his parents are snuffed out by gangsters too.
Right.
So if they'd have just played that up a little bit more, but what they want to do is try to make you think that that wasn't Robin when everybody already knew.
Right.
And the people who don't read the comics probably, they didn't know.
Right.
But I knew. I was sitting there going, oh, he's going to be Robin.
You
know? And so when she said that part at the end, why don't you go by your other name? What's that? Robin. I like that so much better. I was just like...
It was a cheap,
yeah,
just like a little line, and just to appease the overall fans on it. Yeah, it just didn't work either.
Yeah. So, I mean,
the more you think about it, the more like it feels like there's layers there, but there's several, 2 or 3 points that it's, you know, shallow.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he can fight. That's very shallow.
Yeah.
Very shallow.
Yeah.
You know,
And he's not a good detective, really. Right. I mean, he's okay, but he wasn't great.
Right.
So, and you're like, this is the guy that's going to have to try to, you know.
So I'm surprised they didn't add a scene where, you know, he was doing, you know, crossword puzzles or some kind of game that you have to use detective skills. Mm. Oh, you know, I like playing that game.
Scrabble Champion.
Yeah, Scrabble Champion or something. I'm like, oh, you can put two and two together and, you're a good detective too.
Yeah, you're a good detective. You're good at Sudoku. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Right. So
triple Yahtzee.
So everything's like, you know, you think the script was multi-layered, mm-hmm. But there were several points that it felt very shallow. The more that you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, I mean, it's kind of like true to his, you know, his form and fashion. You know, Nolan wants to make it deep and cerebral so you can pull it apart. But the problems are, you know, again, the motivations of the people that are doing it.
Right.
So you really got to make us believe that Selina Kyle even likes Batman. We don't get that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, she's a tough street kid. So just because Batman showed her, you know, that he believed in her doesn't mean she's going to turn over to a heart of gold just like that.
Just like that.
So when she's there at the end with him, I was just kind of like, well, that seems convenient. Right. That's what it was. There was a lot of convenience in there. And then here's Alfred saying, if you do this, sir, I'm gone.
I'm gone.
I won't have you. And then there he is at the end. Give him a wink saying, hey, right. It's almost like, and they lived happily ever after. And guess what? Blake is now going to be the next vigilante.
Right.
Whether it's Batman, Nightwing, or Red Robin,
whatever.
Or something.
Whatever.
Because he knows where the Batcave is.
Right.
And we can totally trust him not to go turn that over to someone else.
Right. Because he was a good cop, supposedly, right?
Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon kind of, you know, said that, you know, that he's straight arrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not dirty.
Yeah. So maybe go find Oliver Queen instead. Right. Let's find him. He's around here. He's rich.
There you go.
He's a marksman. He's trained. Maybe it should be Green Arrow that we
Green Batman.
The Green Batman.
The Green Bat.
I just couldn't get it. But I think if you do that, so like in review, I think if you go ahead, you can take some of the length out of this film. You can get rid of Talia Ghul. Okay. You don't need her.
Right.
Build up the best Catwoman story and Batman Catwoman story. Put it in the film. Put the best Bane Batman, or most iconic, I guess. Blend those two together. If you'd have worked with that as a starting point, then not just telegraph some of the things that he thinks he needs to hold back.
Right.
I mean, we pretty much know Batman's not going to die because he has to grow old in order to train Robin. And all the people that come after him.
Right.
So in what universe does Batman die? So no one's going to believe that. So trying to even use that. Why not?
That's off the table, right?
Yeah, it's off the table. Instead, because I mean, think about it. Most of the movies that you see out there, you already know how they're going to end, but you still go watch because you want to see
how the hero is going to survive.
And then here he's trying to do this thing where he's like, well, I'm going to try to throw you way off.
All right.
And suggest that maybe he dies. And it's like, no, that doesn't really work.
Right.
None of the superheroes really die, even Batman.
Even Batman.
Even though he's the most human of all the superheroes.
Right.
He's still not going to die because you still need Justice League. And
right.
And I know they're unrelated universes, but still people are not going to make that connection. They're going to think, well, wait a minute, isn't this, you know, so.
There you go.
I think he tricked himself with that. And then you don't have to telegraph. And then, of course, that last scene. Again, I don't think that if you do show the big bad fight, I don't think you need to
have Catwoman save him.
Yeah, you
know, that big fight. Yeah, it kind of cheapened him coming back.
Yeah,
you know, after surviving his back broken, being back broken like twice probably too. Because remember when he jumps,
yeah,
and comes back down and looks like it breaks again, maybe. You
know? Yeah,
or it's hurt at least.
Well, yeah, because you want to see like because the whole idea is that he's supposed to come back stronger than ever, right?
Right.
And so now you see him come back, but he's still getting his butt whooped by Bane out there.
Right.
And then he does kind of smash. He finally figures out how to smash the mouthpiece
that
he
gets rid of
to get some, you know, trouble.
Right.
And then he has to get stabbed by Talia
on the side,
and then he's supposed to be shocked.
Right.
Where's the trigger? Where's the trigger? You know, that stupidness.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Bane take care of him. And if you think about it, he was her number one man, so why would he let her go walk out without him?
Oh, you're right.
Why would he stay back to get rid of Batman?
Right.
If she did everything she wanted to do, why doesn't she just kill Batman right then and there?
Right.
And then take her number one bodyguard with her so that she can't be killed by the other people,
right.
Which she does,
get killed. Yeah.
Yeah, so he wasn't even there to protect the very person who he protected all those years when they were in the pit.
In the pit.
So see that.
So that was like very sour. Everything was sour at the end.
Yeah. Like, well, you gotta die because Batman, and you gotta die because of Batman, and Catwoman's gonna come back because of Batman, and she's gonna kill without any compunction at all because of Batman. And Batman doesn't seem to argue or say anything about it.
Right.
Because he's Batman. And then at the end, he's going to tell his secret identity.
Because he's Batman.
Because he's Batman. And then he's going to somehow take the bomb on the seas and get away because he's Batman. And he'll end up in Paris because he's Batman. He's broke. And Alfred will be there because he's Batman, even though he said he was. So it's kind of like he undoes everything that he says is so great.
Right.
So, so I think that's kind of how you would take care of some of that. So at that end, what did you think? So those are kind of some of the points that we came up with. Maybe you guys have some of your own. But certainly write in. You can find us pretty easily. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on YouTube and also on Twitter and then Juice.
You can find me at East Mockingbird on Keats Comics. You can check me out, say hi, and maybe talk about comics and movies.
Heck yeah. And buy loads and loads and loads of Christopher Nolan stuff, right?
Yes, so a lot of Batman toys.
There'll be a lot of Batman toys there because he's not dead because he's Batman.
He's Batman.
So just remember that. So think about it. What we're going to do since we're talking about Christopher Nolan, next time you hear from us, we're going to have to talk about Interstellar, yet another movie that's got people split right down the middle. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. It's still long like all of his other movies, so you can count on that. But we're going to talk about that next week. So yes. I had a great time talking about it. We could talk some more about this, and we probably will, off the microphone. But we thank you guys for listening. And for then, well, what I'll tell you is we're out. Yup.
Later.
Later days.